1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires for the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be the one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not the new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside of the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's quite a calling, isn't it? There's some of you in the group here who have known me for a long, long time. You know me when I was not a lot of those things. When I had a pretty bad reputation, when I was in a lot of trouble, I sent out an email to a bunch of people. I just used an old address book, so I'm not sure if everybody got it, but a lot of my friends, telling them what was going on in my life. People who go to church and people who don't go to church, people who I know aren't even of this religion, that are friends of mine, that I said, you know, this is a turning point in my life. I'm being ordained as a pastor of a church. And I said, I can identify with the Amazing Grace song. You know how it starts out, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And those of you who know my life and know where I came from and have seen what God has done in me and turned me around, it's been an amazing change for me. And it's been cool to see what God can do with a mess when you give it to Him, when you truly say, God, take my life, make it new, forgive me, start me over. How God can hit the reset button and start you all over. And it's been such a cool thing for me to see. I have, I think I've said this before, that I love to study historical stuff about the Bible. I like to see what things are in historical context. I like to study science. I love getting into how we understand the way the universe operates and molecular things and atomic things. And I like to see the evidence that supports what we believe. I like to know why we believe what we believe. I like to know historically, archaeologically, scientifically, anything that I can to find how our faith stands up to the test of what we know. But I think I've said this before, that the thing that convinces me most about the reality of God is the change He's made inside of me. To take the person that I knew that I was and turn me into the person that I am today standing before you blows me away. There's nothing that is as big a miracle. I've seen some cool miracles in my time, but nothing seems to me to be as big a miracle as that. So I just want to thank those of you who have been my friends for a long time, who have supported me and encouraged me to grow, to through all the learning and that I've gotten from some of you, all the support and the moral support and the teaching. So I want to thank you a lot, but I want to say that looking at this stuff and considering it, it is a high calling. It is a lot to think of. It is a lot to take on. I remember when I became the youth leader of the Presbyterian Church, that I felt in a way like I was going from I don't know if you guys ever saw movies from like about World War I, where the French and the English would dig the trenches, and the Germans would dig their trenches, and they'd sit in their trenches, and every once in a while they'd rush each other, and a lot of people died. But most of the time they would just sit in those trenches and they'd wait till their commander said, okay, time to run now. But they'd spend most of their time hiding. And I felt like in some ways as a Christian that I was hiding before them. And when I felt called to become a youth leader and go into ministry and actually do it as a profession, I felt in a way that I was being called to step out of that trench. You get up out of that trench and you run and you go after the enemy. And so I felt, you know, in a way, you get Satan's target right on you. You step up and you kind of take charge of your life and you say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to run. I'm going to follow my commander. And in a way, becoming a pastor almost seems more so of that. You know, it's still the ministry, and it's still a similar kind of role, but now I'm here supposed to stand and lead an entire church out of the trench and across the battlefield. And so it's a big calling. And some might think it's a heavy calling. And, you know, when I, before today, before I felt the call to be a pastor, I would have thought, that's a heavy, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could live that way. That's a lot of stuff to have to keep your life in order. The more I've thought about it, and coming here and standing here today before you, I understand a little bit deeper when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is easy. And I never understood that, because a yoke, those of you guys know what old farming is like, is a big wooden beam that got placed across an animal's neck that connected them to whatever tool they were pulling, a wagon, a plow, whatever. The yoke was what was rested on the shoulders of the beast so that they could pull the tool. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and my burden is light. And it was hard to understand that we're supposed to take something that's meant for us to pull away, to be under a burden. But the more that I've worked for God, the more that I've been in the ministry, the more I've come to realize that it truly is a light yoke. It's a lot to live up to. It's a lot to have to keep in mind and stay aware of. And you have to be awake all the time with what you're doing. You have to keep track of the decisions you're making. You have to really think about what you're doing. And as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we're called to do that all the time, to watch our step, to know what we're getting into. Brother Lynn was telling me the other day, I forget what church you were at where you heard they were saying, you know, it's impossible to keep from sinning. How do we, you know, how can a person do that? I forget where you were at, but you told me that. And that reminded me of Matthew chapter 19. If you want to turn to Matthew 19. Okay, skip down to verse 16. It says, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, this is somebody coming to Jesus. They said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.
That's right.
Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the young man said, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? So in spite of the fact that he's done these practices his whole life, he's followed the law the way most all the good Jews were supposed to back then, and he still felt like he was lacking something. He still felt like he had to go to the teacher and say, what do I need to do? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Isn't it the truth that, you know, as Christians it seems sometimes we can follow lots of rules, but there always seems to be that one that you have a hard time with. There always seems to be something that's your personal struggle. And this money was this guy's struggle. And Jesus knew it. God knows what's going on in our hearts.
Right.
And that's what he pointed out. He said, yeah, you've been following this, but there's been greed in your heart. You know what you need to do? Sell everything, give it to the poor.
Yeah.
Deal with that one thing that's holding you back from me. Get rid of that, and you'll be perfect. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished. I think that, well, I know that God calls all of us to take a look at our lives, to look at our hearts, and those things that might be holding you back, those things that might be in the way of your relationship with God, that sin that's stopping you from living the life that you're called to live. The disciples got that. The disciples understood what Jesus was saying. They said, then who can be saved? Can anyone make it through this? Can anyone accomplish all those goals? Can anyone get rid of sin of their life? Can anyone have a holy life? And Jesus looked at them and said, with people, this is impossible. So yeah, if you're looking at a human level, if you're going to try to do this without any help from God, you're never going to accomplish it. But he went on to say, but with God, all things are possible. So we have a hope before us that we can do whatever it is that God asks us to. I'm amazed to be standing here today before you. I'm so humbled that God chose me to be a pastor. I mean, to look back at my life and to think, you know, when I was a kid, I would have never thought that this is where I was going to be. When I was in high school, I joined the military because I was an angry young youth. I mean, I had nowhere else to go. I had ruined my... I was 16 from the bottom of my high school class when I graduated. I had wasted away my youth on hate, on anger, on greed, on selfishness. I had no true friends that were deep. You know, I didn't let anybody connect to my heart. I separated myself from the world. And when God got a hold of me, you know, as he took that hateful young youth and turned him around and made a new person out of him. And I'm amazed to think about that, to think that God took the person who was full of such anger and such rage and put me here today. I thought that all through my youth ministry, that I would stand up in front of other kids and say, I was like this, when they would share their problems. I know what you mean. That's what I felt too. But now look what God's done. And to hopefully give them a hope that they could change their lives, that God could make a difference in them. And so I stand before you an example today that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've involved yourself in the past. It doesn't matter how sick or rotten or dirty or ruined you think you are. God can take any life and turn it around.
Amen.
God can make a difference. And God can help you to live up to whatever it is that God says. Jesus said over and over and over, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll do what I say. And to us as Christians, that can seem a hard calling. As human beings, that's an impossible calling. But with God, all things are possible. So I just want to give you guys the same hope that I have, the same kind of hope that God has put in my heart through example, that he's turned me around. He's turned my world upside down and has put me in a position where now I'm the pastor. And I can look back at my life and see that God can change anything.
Yeah.
That there's nothing impossible for God.
Right.
With God, all things are possible.
Right. Amen.
Look what God did to my life. I want to live up to being able to say like Paul said, if you want to be like God, if you want to live the Christian life the way it was meant to be lived, look at what I do and follow me. Use me as an example. And I pray and I hope that God will continue to help me to stand up and be that example. We went through all those promises I made. And I take promises seriously. I have a hard time with people who say, I promise, and don't follow through. I'm going to marry Neil and Emily next month. And they're going to make a promise. And a lot of people don't take that promise of marriage seriously. A lot of people throw that out the window when they realize that real life has problems. And all those promises that were read that I agreed to, they mean something to me. And with the help of God, who can make all things possible, I'm going to stand up to it. And I'm going to take this yoke of pastorship. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that God loves me any more than you do. This doesn't mean that I'm... someone that's supposed to be a better than you in such a sense. This means that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been given the role of pastor. I've been given the role of leader. But we're all working as a team.
Right. Amen.
So let's do that together as brothers and sisters. Let's take on our mission to go out and save the world, to let other people know that God can change everything, to feel it in our hearts, to see God change our lives, and to go out and give the rest of the world this good news, because it's good news that I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah.
I once was blind, but now I can see.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world can have that too. There's a lot of lost people out there. There's a lot of people suffering. We talked earlier this morning what it was like people who aren't saved, and I can't imagine what it's like to go through life without... Oh, it was Lynn that said, even if heaven didn't exist, I still want to have my life with God. Because it's been a good life. It's rewarding to live in relationship with God. And I thought, I couldn't imagine what it's like to live your life without hope in God.
Amen.
When you come against the struggles and the troubles and the trials that we all face in life, to not have something to turn to, something to rest on, something to hope in, it just sounds so dark and dismal and dreary to me. And there's a lot of people out there who are like that, who are struggling with what the world has been like, who are struggling with real life, and have nowhere to turn. So let's take the hope to them. Let's give them the good news.
Right.
Let's work as a team to share this blessing that God has given us. And I guess that's all I have to say. Let's pray. God, thanks so much that you do make all things possible. Thanks so much that you give us this opportunity to live life the way it was meant to be lived, to live the way we were designed to live. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to stand up to the calling that you've given us, to stand up and walk in our mission, to go out and spread the good news to the rest of the world that needs it so badly. God, I pray that you would give me the courage and the strength to do everything that I need to do as pastor, and I pray that you would give that same courage and strength to everyone here for what they need to do as Christians, as we, brothers and sisters, work for you, God, to spread your good news. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you care about us enough to save us and to pick us up and to clean us off and to make our life new and to set us walking forward in your purpose and in your mission. Lord, be with us today and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.